When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Guys, we don't have time to do makeup today. It's sunglasses and record. That is the agenda. So I'm sorry. I know some of you hate the sunglasses. I was gone last week for birthday festivities. And of course, it was like the craziest week in Bravo. Leah sued Andy in Bravo. That's for the weekly recap. This is about Vanderpump Rules. There was enough happening on Vanderpump Rules that I wanted to discuss it. Rachel suing Tom and Ariana for the revenge porn, that was a big one. I'm going to get into that because I'm going to read the fucking filing, you guys. The filing is infuriating. I'm going to read that at the end of the recaps. I will put timestamps so that you guys can skip around if you just want to get to one place or the next. But for now, let's get this fucking party started. Okay, episode 5, which was not this past week, but the week before, it was a bit of a filler episode. Excuse me. The only real big point was the Sheena Brock fight in the clothing store. You guys, that was so funny. Sheena claimed when she did a Bravo's Hot Mic, and she claimed that she really showed it all. This season, she decided to really show it all with her marriage. I don't think that was an option. I don't think that she could have put on a front. It's always read to me like they can't stand each other anyway. Like they're very perfect for each other because they're both, you know, like thirsty, but they've always gotten on each other's nerves from day one. So this is like not a big surprise that they're not getting along. But this is this big thing. Sheena's mom is still an issue. She's also been an issue. She's been an issue for them since the beginning of the relationship, especially when Summer came into the picture. Remember when they fought? Ew. Remember when Brock was fighting with Sheena's mom? What was that? Season 8? No, season 9. The bad season. The COVID season. Yeah, that was bad. So there's no surprise they're not getting along. If he had it his way, Sheena's mom would never be around their child. But isn't it kind of normal? Because she's decided that she only wants her mom to be the one watching Summer if they were to go out of town. Isn't that kind of common? I feel like I remember Tam, because I'm not a mom. I don't know, obviously. I feel like Tamra said that she couldn't go to Lizzie's birthday because her kid was sick and her mom couldn't watch him or her. I can't remember who was sick. Right? So I feel like that's not that uncommon. I feel like Brock is just not wanting to say what he is really, really thinking, which is get your goddamn mother out of my life. So there's a divorce coming soon. But Sheena, of course, tries her hardest. She's like, stop talking. Don't fight. I can't believe we're fighting in a store. And then they're like on the street. And at one point, Sheena spikes the camera. And the next angle we get is the cameras from inside. So I feel like once she looked at those cameras, they were like, get the cameras down. She's not going to talk about anything. We got a camera inside. So then they were able to capture a little bit of it. where she's like, this is why I don't want a stranger coming in because you talk like this. And he's like what? I've been screaming for help and for months and not getting any. She goes, just stop talking. Okay. They're going to Tahoe this trip. Lisa fucking Vanderpump brings Graham on the private jet to Tahoe. She does all of this just so that they can have a big reveal in Tahoe. You know, Rachel was not incorrect in her assessment that this was a Lisa Vanderpump decision. Because even Allie is like, this is cruel. You know, Allie can imagine if I lost everything and my cat, oof, not that would really hurt. But Lisa is showing her villain side more than ever. She really thought she could hide out on Vanderpump and her villainous ways would not show. But in fact, they're more obvious than ever. Because all the same shit she did on Beverly Hills, she's just doing here. There's nothing new. None of this is new. She has always been a male sympathizer. And she's always been, Lisa's always been a Sheena stan. She's always had Sheena's back. She's always been trying to make Sheena into the star she is not. Okay? Sheena's not a star. They built this whole show around Sheena, basically. And Sheena still acts like she's not the number one. Isn't that so, Sheena? The first scene of this whole show is her with Brandy, and then it transitions with her walking in, and then we're in Vanderpump Rules. So Sheena, you're basically the main character, but because your personality is so pick me, you never feel or act like the main character. You could be in the leading role and the whole time you're like, what about me? They're like, you're there. You're the lead. What do you want, Sheena? So Lisa's always like tried to, she's always sympathized with Sheena. It's just, oh my God. Lisa takes the most dramatic pictures with the Huskies. Her pitch for Wolf too. Basically, that's what Vanderpump Rules has become for her. It's just a pitch for all of her restaurants. And it ain't for the faint-hearted, that's for sure. Sexy, masculine, a big, bad wolf. Oh, guys, I was like, okay. We have jumped the fucking shark with Lisa. We already jumped the shark a while ago, but like the last 2 years is just, it's kind of embarrassing. Okay. Ariana, back at home. I didn't write down who she was talking to. But she's FaceTiming somebody about the sale of the house and keeping the house and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, look, I've come around to the idea of Tom staying in the house, but I want all of the furniture inside because it was custom. And I honestly love what they did. Like, I love the choices they made. Like, obsessed, obsessed. And I don't hate the idea of her stripping the entire place of all of its possessions and just giving him the house. And how the fuck is this man going to pay that mortgage on his own? Isn't he struggling with money? Like, get over it. So the crew goes to, back in Tahoe, the crew goes to Wolf, the site, and Lisa has them demo a wall, which is a great activity, I guess, for a show. But why is Sheena wearing this like furry tube top and pants? It's such a strange, whatever. It's just odd. But so they're like hitting stuff. And Sheena's, when she screams, is the restraining order. Tom Sandoval, he starts screaming all the stuff he's been called. Scumbag and cheaters. Worm with the mustache. Charles Manson's son. That is so funny. It's like, Tom, you got to even admit that's funny. I still stand by. You are a cult leader in the making, sir. This band of yours, this group, you're gathering your army. Then he goes, Lala, James Kennedy, motherfucking Scandoval. And Lala's like, why not hit it over your actions, though? You know, like, you're still such a victim. And Lisa's like, we're going to pretend we didn't hear that. And we're going to keep giving Sandoval a good edit, aren't we? Then it's dinner time with Lisa, Nick, and Ken. Nick Elaine, by the way, has been very active on Instagram and posting in favor of Tom Sandoval. Someone, I can't remember who sent it to me. Somebody sent it to me. And it was like, he posted some huge ass comment on, I don't remember what page it was, but it was like a fan page about how everyone's cheated, Tom's getting too much heat or whatever. It was very, I'm like, Nick Elaine, dude. And Ken doesn't even speak anymore. He just shows up and he's barely even there. But Lisa points out, because she couldn't wait for this. Schwartzy, I noticed you said single at 40. Like you were so sad. Like, aw, poor Schwartz. Mm. But thankfully, Lala and Sheena are there to be like, aren't you with Joe? Like, what? And Lisa's, she's like, perfect. Everyone's here. She looks around this table. No one's speaking now. After that little comment, no one's talking. No one knows what to fucking say. She thinks that she can manufacture this. She thinks she's that powerful still with this group. She's always kind of gathered them at her home to have these conversations. And she looks around the table and she's like, oh, there's just not enough drama going on here. So she says, James, let's play a game. What's something that you like about Sandoval? And he's like, James is like, I can't. He literally says, I can't. Like, don't, like, this isn't that, okay? But this just shows how little respect Lisa has for these people. Their feelings on this are just silly at this point to her. Because, guys, we've all cheated. That's what this show is, right, baby? That's what this show is. No, Lisa, we're something actually real happened. And we're trying to watch how this group recovers from it. I'm not trying to watch how they bring Tom Sandoval in. Here's the other problem. We didn't get any screen time, like show time, of hating Tom Sandoval. You know, granted, we hated him anyway. But then Scandoval happened after they filmed. So we only got to see that one finale episode and then the reunion, which, yes, that was some great Tom hating. But that was in the reunion. For the actual principal photography, we haven't even had a chance to see Tom remorseful. We see Tom the victim. And you're feeding into it, Lisa. So what the fuck? You're not even going to give us half a season of letting us all hate Tom, letting the group chill, letting all of the girls do their thing, whatever that may be, and then Tom and Tom can have their own little sat. They're the ones who should be outcast. That's the sick part about this. But because obviously they're willing to film with everybody, they're not going to be outcast. The producers probably love them because they're willing to film with everyone. And I feel my theory is right. I feel like this was a Bravo mandate. Bravo said, we don't fucking care about their feelings, about the audience's feelings, because some exec is assigned to these shows. And they're like, I mean, don't they all cheat? I don't know. Like, what the fuck, right? And so now Ariana is responsible. Ariana is responsible for how the audience treated Sandoval. I had someone on my threads today. They said, it's true, though. She should have stopped it. You want the woman who'd been cheated on, publicly humiliated, to step in and say, guys, be nice to Tom? Huh? Why? Why would that be on her? That could be on any of you. But because Ariana's the one who was wronged, and unfortunately for everyone on this cast, Ariana thrived. Katie's not jealous. You can tell Katie genuinely is not that type of person. She is happy at the level that she's at. Katie is like, she's got boundaries. And I've heard this from people who've seen her out in public, at like public events. She's very guarded. She's not looking for the maximum amount of exposure and fame like Lala and Sheena are. And James, he's been doing his DJ thing forever, so he's not threatened by these opportunities that Ariana's gotten. And also, Sheena and Lala both benefited. They got the Uber One deal together. Like, that wouldn't have happened without Ariana. I don't know. The jealousy is just so obvious. So this happens to Ariana, and because she wasn't just laying in bed crying and miserable, they're like, well, she's fine. How come we have to not be his friend? You want to be his friend? Not Lala, obviously. Well, kinda. But Sheena, you want to be his friend still? And that's exactly what Ariana's saying. Like, I just don't want you to want to be his friend because for you, that's sad. Like, why would you want to be his friend? Anywho, I'm going to keep going. Tom pulls James aside to have a talk. And Tom's like, I just want to coexist. You know, when it went down, man, I was scared to talk to you. James just has line after line. He goes, it doesn't give you an excuse to deceive and betray. Tom goes, how could this not have ended up catastrophic? He really thinks that there was no choice. That's so Tom. He's such a fucking drama queen. James is like, you don't think you could have broken up with Ariana and then started things with Rachel? Tom, of course, his favorite line, it's so easy for people to say that. James is like, well, it just comes down to you not being a man and leaving your relationship. Once again, Tom, Ariana and I had built our entire life together. It might be that easy for you to do that, but well, it's just... See, this is the problem. This is why when I was watching, I'm like, I don't even want to cover this anymore. We've already gone over this. I cannot keep... This is what dangerous, toxic people like this do. You have... Like, we're our point, Tom, that and everyone else's point that has sense, you leave the relationship. That's how it doesn't end. Catastrophic. Like this. Yeah, that's how. But we have to keep... I can't keep going back and arguing that. I can't. But that's what Tom does. They repeat the same. You thought you got through to them. You thought you said something that was like, I got it. I got him. I got him. I think I got him. Nope. They repeat the same thing again a day later. You're like, what? We've already discussed this though. What? I don't want to do it anymore. James, this one sentence though is so well. He goes, this is what you wanted. It is. This is, it's like you wanted to be with Rachel. Why would you not? Tom, it just wasn't that simple. And James goes, honestly. James gives it a beat and then asks if he's, are you going to like be with Rachel now? And then in Tom's confessional, he's like, it was about Rachel. You know, it wasn't just that. It was also getting out of a relationship that I know wasn't suiting my life. The path that I was on wasn't a good path. It needed a change. Hunty, the path your life is on now is better? This is something that you say when something bad happens to you and you're like, you know what? It honestly helped me see the light. This doesn't apply if you're the one who did the cheating. I mean, I guess it kind of does. I guess it sort of can. I just don't like it. How about that? I don't like it. Tom tries to sound all deep. I just got to embrace it and be like, yo, don't ever do that shit again, you idiot. And he laughs. James goes, right. Whoa. His face is like, what the fuck does that mean? He's like, you know what I mean? I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Oh my God, I hate this man. Guys, I hate him. It's unhealthy. The after show was more of the same on this one. So I'm not going to, like, there was no need to, like, do a separate one. Oh, my God, my hair. I haven't looked in the mirror yet. Let me fix this. I don't think this is much better. Guys, this is not my, it's not my glamour day, okay? It's just not. Ladies, did you know that one of the most common complaints from women about their sexual health is a frustratingly low libido? Our sex drives can decline, but it's also treatable. Addy, or flibanserin, is FDA approved and has been clinically proven to increase sexual desire in certain premenopausal women who are bothered by a low libido. So if you feel like you've lost your desire and you want to get it back, stop falling for the snake oils and ask your doctor about Addy today, or go to addy.com. That's ADDY.com.
Addie is for premenopausal women with acquired generalized hypoactive sexual desire disorder, HSDD, who have not had problems with low sexual desire in the past, who have low sexual desire no matter the type of sexual activity, the situation, or the sexual partner. The low sexual desire is troubling to them and is not due to a medical or mental health problem, problems in the relationship, or medicine or other drug use. Addie is not for use in men or to enhance sexual performance. Your risk of severe low blood pressure and fainting is increased if you drink 1 to 2 standard alcoholic drinks close in time to your Addie dose. Wait at least 2 hours after drinking before taking Addie at bedtime. Your risk of severe low blood pressure and fainting is also increased if you take certain prescriptions, over-the-counter or herbal medications, or have liver problems. Low blood pressure and fainting can happen when you take Addy, even if you don't drink alcohol or take other medicines. Do not take if you are allergic to any of the ingredients in Addy. Allergic reactions may include hives, itching or trouble breathing, sleepiness, sometimes serious, can occur. Common side effects include dizziness, nausea, tiredness, difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, and dry mouth. See full PI and medication guide, including box warning, at Addy.com/PI or call 844-PINK-PILL.
Ask your doctor about Addy today or go to Addy.com. That's Addy.com. Episode 6. Y'all, Tom journals in the morning. Because I wanted to see what he was writing. Some of it's blurred out. And what that says to me is that he had a lot of control over that final edit. But let me try to read what he's got here. I don't know what that first word is. July 15th, 2023, 9:55 a.m. Now, you can't read everything, but I'm going to try to... Yesterday was one of the craziest filming something experiences, I guess, I've had since being on this show. We all went to the airport. Sheena called me over to where they were sitting. Nothing bad happened. Probably one of the worst days to have only gotten 1 hour of sleep plus flying. I was very, emotional all day because of the lack of sleep and something conversation. I feel love from, I don't know. But then there's two little sections that are blacked out. I swear this man wrote this just for the cameras. He even like kind of looks to make sure the cameras are getting him doing his journal. So I'm not kidding. He was like, yeah, no, take that little part out. But yeah, this makes me look like I'm a victim. I swear that man is so inauthentic. So in the morning, Sheena and Lala chat on the bed. And Sheena goes, I just know I can never be friends with him again. And Lala goes, like, that's really sad. And Sheena tells the story of how he gave her a couple $1,000 during the pandemic. I didn't realize her podcast was canceled, and I don't remember why. She was pregnant, she had no income, and he was there for her in a time when no one else was. Sheena ends this scene, though, with going, but I'm Team Ariana till I die. Sure you are. The fucking meditation yoga thing, what the hell? Tom should not have been the one to run point on this, because he can't give an accurate depiction of the current group status. This woman had no idea. Sheena should have gone out there and been like, here's what's happening. This woman should also done some research, okay? Brock joins late and Sheena shoots daggers at him. Daggers. When this woman said partner meditation, I knew it would be bad. The instructor, okay, Sheena's like, it's okay. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. The instructor goes, this is when you practice some assertiveness and tell them that you actually, and then Sheena goes, okay, then I'm not okay. I'm not, walks off crying. I still fucking hate you. So then Brock comes up to get her and she's like, actually, I could tell that she was more mad at Brock because Brock joined, what's her name? Allie and James's little trio because they were supposed to partner up. And so he joined that trio. He joined it claiming that he was, I did it on purpose. I wanted you and Sandoval to talk. But Sheena she's not saying what she really wants to say. So when he tries to hug her again, she's like, I don't want you to touch me. And he's like, are you angry with me too? She said, I said be back on time from golf. And I'm like, ha ha, that's what it was. She's like, I said to be back on time. You were late. And then you fucking got in here. Sheena goes back to the group. And this stupid woman is like, is everyone sure that you are okay and your partner is okay? Like, change up the program, girl. Change it up. Okay. She makes them breathe
excuse me, and like feel each other's heartbeats, and Lala and Schwartz are all about it. It's so creepy. He goes, there you are. This woman makes them face each other and imagine this is the last time you'll ever see them. Of course, Sandoval fucking loves this. This is a perfect manipulation tool for him to get through to Sheena. And Sheena's crying. I can't, like, the sound of her voice when she's crying. I'm just like, I can't hear it. I just can't. Brock is crying off to the side, though, watching. They finish up. Sheena runs inside. And her confessional is, the mask fell, and I saw that there is still a soul inside. I'm like, oh my God, that's my friend Tom. He misses me and he knows how bad he fucked up. So in the after show, Ariana says, because she agrees with Katie, because Katie calls Sheena a male sympathizer. But Ariana goes, I think it also was him saying, I don't care about you. We were never friends. That, rather than make her go, fuck this guy, I'm worth more than that. She wanted it more. And that's so Sheena. That's so Sheena. And that's, you know, look, we've all got a little bit of that in us. The person who treats you the worst, you're like, wait, are you mad at me? What's happening? And so this is Sheena in a nutshell. But Sheena sobs and sobs. And I'm so toxic, but I was laughing when she was crying in that bathroom. I was laughing. Sheena says she hates that Tom did this. And Lala goes, well, he can't be crucified day in and day out. He made a mistake. Oh, cool. We're already there. All right. Cool. The thing is, Lala, I guess for Lala, she's like, I've never understood why you're friends with Tom. But if you want to be friends with Tom, you've always liked him. And I don't understand why. But I'm over here like, what the fuck? What do you mean he made a mistake? This man to his core is just a bad person. But production's like, no, he's not. Bravo's like, make it work. Katie and Ariana eat in Ariana's. Is this Ariana's backyard? We've never seen her backyard in all its splendor. It was gorgeous because she's doing the shoot for her cocktail book. Her makeup was so, her face was so gorgeous in this scene. Like I was mesmerized. The makeup, the beat. Oh my God, her lips, everything, everything. I think she got a little tiny bit more lip injection. Ariana did. I'm thinking of doing a little lip injection myself. Thinking of, I'm going to do a little touch up on the filler. Not going to lie. I can notice the difference now that it's fading. I'm digressing. Katie and Ariana are eating. And Ariana goes, yeah, Sheena sent me that weird text from Tahoe. The one that was like, we had to do this meditation thing. It was a lot and it was emotional and blah, blah, blah. But I'm always here for you or whatever. Katie makes it pretty clear. She goes, well, just so we get this on camera, you've made it clear that you will not be friends with someone who's friends with Tom. I would also really like to hone in on this for a second. Ariana is absolutely traumatized from a friend of hers being the one that Tom cheated on her with. So I actually understand her not wanting any mutual friends with Tom. It's too much for her. She just doesn't want that connection. If you think Tom is someone worth being friends with, go ahead. I'm no longer there anymore. So they're interviewing people later. This is just a tiny moment. Katie deserves all of them. And they're like, hope you find some good. And Katie goes, well, I'm actually a really good judge of character. And Ariana goes, I know that now. And I'm like, that's right. You take it. You take it. Every chance you get, you take it, Katie. Because she's not just been right about Tom, she's also been right about Sheena. And now Sheena's given all this stuff. Katie's like, hello, hello. I was the bad guy this whole time. I mean, granted, she was miserable and had a lot of horrible moments. I'm not taking those away. But for the most part, her messages remain the same. Especially last season with the Sheena and Schwartz and Rachel shit, you know? Back in Tahoe on the ski lifts, Brock, Schwartz, and Sandoval are in one of the ski lifts. Sandoval, he goes, did you guys get anything out of this, that morning thing we did, the meditation thing? And it's just crickets. They're like, oh, no. It was uncomfortable. Sandoval goes, you think he's about to say something selfless. It makes sense that Sheena has OCD because she's so focused on this thing. So wait a minute. It makes sense she's got OCD because she's so focused on what? What are you talking about? That's those. Of course you turn it into something about you. And of course, one more time, we have to fucking hear. We didn't intend to hurt anyone. But the way you guys reacted was very intentionally trying to hurt both of us. And I was, you know, it's one thing to be, you know, to say whatever, but it went on. I was getting beat up for 5 months afterwards. Sir, it's only been 4 months since it even happened. Stop with the exaggerations. Okay. You're public figures. Sheena's probably said a million times that she shouldn't have continued to go on and on and on and on. Maybe. Fine. That's fine. But it was such a big, huge, monumental thing, dude. And actually, now that I'm saying it, Sheena had so much to say about Tom. But now because they're filming, she's like, I guess I have to forgive him. What? No, stand your ground. It's the producers. The producers are putting that, because I feel like it's a trickle down. The network's telling whoever the main producer is, you guys have to make it work. And then they're like, oh, fuck, we got to facilitate it somehow. And so then they have to kind of like force people to do stuff. And Sheena is so, she's very Rachel-esque in that she's very influenced easily and whatever. And so she's like, I guess I have to make up with them because they're telling me I do. I don't get it. Anyway, okay, back to this, though. It's very important because then Brock goes, bro, your girl put a restraining order against my wife. And Sandoval goes, because she got punched in the goddamn face. Ooh. Ooh. Now, see, these are fighting words. Brock, he should be fucking done at this point. He should. But instead, they're going to go through all this and they get back up to the top. And Brock, we'll get to it, Emily. Chill out. We'll get to it. Okay. So Sandoval then continues, of course. He's like, you guys were perpetuating rumors or whatever. Brock's like, you planted the fucking story about me sleeping with Raquel. Sandoval's line is so telling. He goes, there is absolutely no evidence of that whatsoever. Doesn't that just sound like somebody who's been trying to cover up evidence? He's like, I went out of my way to make sure there was no evidence of that whatsoever. He says the evidence thing a couple more times. They get off the thing, the gondola or whatever it's called. And Brock is like, yeah, dude, no, we heard from the publicist, whatever. And Sandoval says there's no evidence of it. And he goes, I'll literally take a polygraph. I'm thinking he has like practiced on polygraphs. I think on polygraphs, Tom has like booked sessions just to see if he can beat him. Can't you see that? I can totally see that, actually. Just set up another session. You know, it's pretty dope. You can beat it. I feel like that's a very Tom Sandoval thing. He always tries to use things to like make his point. Like on the Nick Vile podcast, when he was late, and instead of just answering why he was late, because Nick was like, why were you late? He goes, well, you were fucking late to my podcast. There was no evidence of it. And in fact, Nick's fiance was like, wait a minute, I have this text message from when he was done recording. And this is time stamped. This, how long did you guys record? Proof that he wasn't late. He couldn't have been late. And Sandoval goes, ask anybody. Who? We were all waiting. We were all like, is he coming? Who's we? And then he names two people that are just on his team. It's like, okay, so sure, they're going to tell us the truth, please. But then anyway, they get to the top and then Brock apologizes to Sandoval. And fucking Sandoval's just like, thanks. It's lots of dudes, like, no one says like. Nick, I know I watch my likes, but someone needs to tell Tom, stop saying like. He says dude, like, it's like, oh my God, it drives me crazy. He says they saw him. He's like, you guys probably saw me touring and thought, oh, he was just partying his balls off. But like, I had to do that. Bro, you had changed up lyrics. You were mocking the situation. Don't. We have eyes. It also got back to Rachel from whoever. I'm sure people on the band, people that knew her because she was the other woman that they were covering up for, you know, from Ariana. Somebody told her that he was getting with women on the road. Because Rachel talked about it on her podcast. Like, I found out that he was with other women. And Tom lies 24/7. Lies 24/7. But why is Brock going over here and apologizing? Brock, no. You don't need to apologize for anything. He owes you all an apology. Fucking crying out loud. I think I skipped the scene. I think I don't remember what episode it was. I think it might have been in last week's episode. I think I cut it for some dumb reason. But in the first, in episode 5, when Brock tries to talk to Tom, like, God, you know, it's just a lot. We're all trying to figure out what to do. And Tom's like, I don't want to even go here. I don't want to go here. They cut to a confessional of Tom's. And he's like, this isn't just something that I have to get past. I mean, that they have to get past. This is something they owe me an apology for all they did. This is something we have to get past together. So delusional. It's like you're skipping the part where you actually do take accountability. I get that he apologized to Sheena, sort of. But again, we don't have enough time. There's not enough screen time of him being apologetic and sorry. We don't have any of it. He's coming into the season like, I said I was sorry. By the way, I fucking hate that apology. I said I was sorry. I want an apology. I said I was sorry. That's just do another one. And don't say, I said I was sorry. That should be tattooed on all men. I said I was sorry. Oh, it's so annoying. So now, okay, and now back to this. Sheena is getting ripped for the photo that was posted, the fan photo. And I remember that. I remember we all kind of freaked out and Sheena was responding to people left and right. She was not happy. And then she says this line, which she had also said in comments. So I remember this in real time. People don't know what I'm personally struggling with when it comes to Sandoval. They're just assuming I'm betraying Ariana. Now let's break that down. What do we not know? What do we not know? You had an entire segment, multiple segments, about your relationship with Tom and Rachel and the betrayal and all of it. And Ariana didn't cut you off. She didn't tell you your feelings didn't matter. She was crying along with you at the reunion. Because in the after show, Lala's like, has anyone ever validated Sheena's feelings? Like they validated yours, James? And that goes back and forth. But yes. So I was like, let me go back and rewatch the reunion. I don't remember. So I went to the sections just of Sheena. I'm like, it's happening right here. Ariana looked at it like they were in it together. Because Sheena found out when Ariana found out. And Sheena was on the phone with them and they were all talking. I think Ariana just assumes that they're in this together. How did it become poor little Sheena? Because Sheena must get, and it's coming up. So they go, Ariana and Katie, they do some interviews. Penny takes over the interviews. And it's a little annoying. But then Sheena on the break, and someone said, I think it was on Instagram. Someone said, I don't know what their point was. Something like the phone call that Sheena made. Don't you think producers made her do that? I'm like, well, yeah, they have. That sort of stuff isn't like, that's not a conspiracy. These things have to be scheduled. So it would make sense that the people who are not on the trip, because this happens for all shows, if someone doesn't go on the trip, there will be a FaceTime call scheduled so that the people on the trip can call the people not on the trip and have the conversation. There will be something like that. So yes, I'm sure there was something on the books because it would make sense that Sheena would contact Ariana and Katie because they're not on the trip to be like, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what's going on. So that's not like some big conspiracy or anything. They don't tell her what to say. Sheena says that all on her own. Ariana goes, as far as healing goes, I want that for you. But as far as you putting yourself in a position where you would be friends with somebody who would do this to you, that's just not someone I want you to be friends with for you. Have some fucking self-respect, Sheena. Have some fucking self-respect. But Sheena goes, we're not what we used to be. We never will be. It was all really heavy, and then they have us turn around and imagine this is the last time you ever see the person. You know how close we were, and it was just a really heavy loss for me, and I've just been struggling with that. And I'm like, I miss you, but it'll never be the same because you did this. And Ariana, she's nicer than I would have been. If I was in Ariana's position and Sheena fucking called me, dropping all these hints, like, I want to forgive Tom. I'd ball her out. Ariana goes, yeah, he put you in that position as he did me and everybody. I don't think he ever cared about your friendship. Well, see that, you can't say that to Sheena. Sheena's that person who will talk all this shit about someone, but when you talk shit back, she's like, actually, they're really nice. So then Sheena goes, he did give me what I honestly felt like was a genuine apology. And I felt like for the first time I got genuine tears and not performative. There's this little moment where Ariana just goes, okay. She just like makes a little face and they put a sound effect because she's like, sure, everything's performative with Tom. I just feel like I needed to let go of the hatred I have for him because I can't keep hating him for you. Uh-uh. Right there, I would have lost it. Right there, I would have said, oh, I didn't realize that's the only reason you're hating him. I thought that we both had been wronged, but okay. Now I'm being seemingly blamed for the status of your relationship with Tom Sandoval. Ariana's now responsible for that. I can't keep hating him for you. I'm mad that he did all of this because I miss him. I miss my friend. And Ariana goes, yeah, that sucks. It sounds fucking awful. She goes, anyway, I just wanted to check in. Ariana, okay, we're going to interview some peeps. Bye. They hang up and Katie points out how Sheena's certainly hinting like, I really miss him as my friend. And then she says, Sheena, if you're going to be friends with him, Ariana's going to cut you off. So think about your next move very carefully. It's like, I knew she was going to, she wants to be the guy whisperer. She has to, that is her role. She's determined. When I covered, because she went on Bravo's Hot Mic podcast and I did like a bit of content about it. And I was like, she wants to be the guy whisperer. She even says how I used to get through to Jax. And I'm like, no, you didn't. Jax like thought you were a joke. No, you never did. So this is just who Sheena is. And Katie and Ariana have made more sense as friends for a long time. It's crazy to think about the wedding, Katie's wedding season and how her and Ariana did not get along at all. Ariana has her own shit that she's got to work through too. She wasn't like Miss Pussy Power. She didn't like Stassi or Kristen or Katie, which actually, if you think about it, that's not that crazy. I always thought, not always, there were times where I was like, Ariana, you're being too much. But I felt that her not wanting to be friends with Stassi and Katie, with Stassi in particular, was just kind of awesome because I don't blame her. Like, Stassi was horrible. It also shows, too, how much Ariana had Sheena's back. And Sheena did not have Ariana's back. Sheena's wedding, Ariana was in a war with Kristen. Kristen was front and center in Sheena's wedding. She wasn't even in the wedding, and Sheena let Kristen come get ready in the like bungalow villa thing that they were in. She did not care about Ariana's feelings at all. She let Kristen talk all sorts of shit and was just like, oh, whatever. So this is how Sheena's been. Okay. Okay, Lala and Sandoval talk. Now they're on the boat. They're like all kind of in their own little corners. So she opens with, I have a question. When you could look me in my eyes and say, you need to be real and honest with your life, knowing all of those things you were doing, how could you say that to me? And Sandoval starts to talk. And then he goes, when did I say this to you? And I don't know, like, why? You said it a lot. Thank God Lala has James there to back her up. Because Lala's like, you said it to me often. And James is like, yeah, no, you said it. It was like your line for her. Because it's his line that he's been saying about Lala for a couple years now. And so there was a quote from him calling her, saying she has douchey energy and needs to be real. That actually came out the day Scandoval broke. So the irony of it, like, I need to be real. That's hilarious. But of course, Sandoval was just trying to come up with a lie and an excuse. And once again, Lala, you lied about your life, blah, blah, blah. He parrots what some of the audience has been saying, honestly. We can only talk about what you want to talk about. It's like, fair, fine. Sandoval is like, there's no hope for this man. In his confessional, he's like, look, I did lie about a 7-month relationship. Lala lied for a few years of a 6-year relationship. We both lied. We're both liars. So I think we just call this a wash. Oh, but Lala has owned up to this. There have been scenes where we've discussed this. We've had segments of reunions like this. We have gone through it. She has had to eat it. She did have to like come back crawling back to Sir and be humble. And she did have to say, I was right. You guys were, or I was wrong. I was lying. You guys knew that I couldn't afford a Range Rover on a host salary. Okay, you're right. She had to do all of that. Sandoval is skipping that because of all these other past things that have happened. And he's like, so I don't even need to own up to my shit. Lala's like, yeah, you can have a field day with my past. And no one beats themselves up more than I will about it. So I don't need to hear it from you. You ain't my dad. You ain't my mama. You haven't been a friend. You don't get to talk to me about my past. And he goes, okay, likewise. And she, it's like, no, because you said it to my face. You said you're not being real to my fucking face. While you, okay, Lala, I did it for 6 months. You did it for 6 years. She didn't. Lala starts going off a bit. And then she goes, you want to come at me about my past? And then Sandoval in this whiny voice just goes, I'm not talking about that. That's actually exactly what you're talking about. And then Lala goes, this is about you right now, not me. And Sandoval goes, okay, and I'm taking accountability. No, you're not. You can't just say I'm taking accountability. And then that counts. You don't even know how to actually take accountability. This is like when Michael Scott on The Office just comes out and goes, I declare bankruptcy. And Oscar has to be like, okay, just because you say it doesn't mean, he's like, no, I didn't say it. I declared it. Okay. That's like I am taking accountability. How? I don't know. I said it though, right? I'm taking accountability. Doesn't that sound good coming out of my mouth? I'm taking accountability. Doesn't it sound like I am? No, it doesn't. Nope. Mm-mm. Lala's like, no, you haven't. And just even a basic sorry hasn't come out of your mouth. And Sandoval's extra whiny. Because it was 6 years of it, Lala. The way he says Lala. The way Sandoval says Lala and Schwartz says alcohol. Lala. No, it's not Lala. Ugh. All of us are really putting our fucking lives out there and you are not. Okay, at this point, that is so old. Like this, you're like yelling at a person that doesn't exist anymore. She's like, what? Okay. Like, does that... So then Lala gets, am I losing my mind? And then Sheena clocks in. Lala has a great moment though. She goes, I felt sorry for you for 5 seconds, but you're proving to me that you are terrifying. She walks away and comes back quite a bit. And then at one point she goes, you won't let me evolve because you need to talk about the same stuff every single year, but I can't evolve past 6 years when I'm sitting here willing to let you evolve about over something that happened 4 months ago. Like, this doesn't make sense. Like, what are you talking about? Sandoval, because Lala, when I watched you go after fucking Raquel and then you get eaten alive on social media, then all of a sudden you're like, maybe I went a little too far. Oh, so now you're saying Lala is pandering to the audience. I guess we can't argue that about you, Sandoval, because you definitely don't give a fuck what people say about you. In fact, you think everyone's wrong. Okay. But then Lala gets him. She goes, no, I'll tell you what triggered me. She said, if I don't fall in line with Sandoval, I'll have nobody. You isolate. You groom. You isolate. You groom. You lie. You look people in their face. Sandoval's like, you don't know me. You don't know me, dude. She goes, I don't want to know you. You're scary. And he goes, you're scary. He's so lame. This was very hard to take notes on. I watched it. I think I had to watch it like 3 times without taking notes because I was like, this is hard. My instinct is to be like, turn it off. Just turn it off. Sheena and Brock step in while Lala sobs and cries. And Allie is totally there for her. So is James. And Schwartz is disassociating like he keeps doing repeatedly over and over again. So he's kind of useless in my opinion at this point. Producers clearly convinced Lala to go back and talk to Sandoval because Sheena got through to him. And she's like, I don't want to fight with you. I'm tired. And I just want to hear a sorry. And Sheena goes, I was able to explain it. And Lala's like, okay, yeah, because you're calm and I'm triggered 24/7. That line, I can tell Lala's young. I can tell Lala is trying to figure herself out more. And because she is so young, I do want to give her a little bit of grace. Oh, wait, how old is she? Hold on, let me look that up before I'm like, she's so young. She's not 21. Hold on, let me see. I'm gonna look up. She's gonna be way older than I thought. Lala Kent age. Let's see. Oh, 33 years. I take it back. Never mind. Take everything I was gonna say back. Okay, everything. Tom forces a hug on her and I'm like, don't touch her. Get off. And he's like, then he goes into a whole crying monologue about how her being nice on this trip has changed the way he looks at her. And Sandoval is like, I'm processing. Okay, this is a lot. Again, victim narrative. I'm the only one going through this. Even though I caused all of this, this is a lot, guys. Brock is smashed. They get back to the house. He is wasted. He was doing shots on the boat. He's even wasted for Schwartz. At one point, Sandoval thanks Schwartz for inviting him because this has been a huge breakthrough. And Schwartz goes, wow. Like, he's like, oh, is it, sir? I don't think so. But okay. He's like, yeah, totally. No, it's not. So then Lala and Sheena talk in bed. Sheena is still spiraling over the photo backlash. And Lala's like, well, where are you seeing this? It's not even on my algorithm. It's literally everywhere. Lala goes, well, are you searching for it? No, it's just every single person that tweeted me all fucking day. And Lala goes, okay, that means you're searching for it. Don't look at that. I'm not. I'm just literally in my mentions. And Lala goes, that's searching for it. Who goes in their mentions? She sounds so grossed out. She's like, who does that? Ew. And Sheena's just like, me. Because Sheena would drive herself crazy with fan feedback like that, wouldn't she? Knowing this photo's come out and obviously she's only going to be tagged in it. She's like, let me just go through and look at all my mentions just to really, it's like, then don't avoid it. Lala goes, has Ariana come to your defense at all? Sheena goes, no, of course not. My jaw hit the ground. I will riot right now. Sheena starts crying. When I try to talk to Ariana, she either dismisses how I feel or tells me I shouldn't feel this way because he's a bad person. It's just like, I know, but I'm like, just telling you that I'm like struggling. Why the fuck would Ariana be who you go to for this? Lala's who you go to for this. And you both should be like, Ariana, let's not talk to Ariana about this. Let's keep it to ourselves, okay? She's not, like, that's not for her to hear. But Sheena just needs Ariana to literally say, you can be friends with Sandoval, that's fine. Why would she say that, though? She's not going to say that. You crazy? You're crazy. Lala goes, your feelings are absolutely valid. Ariana's doing just fine. She's booking everything under the sun. She's having her moment, and she deserves that. Jealousy. That's what that reeked of. Sheena is still sobbing. I know, and I do have her back, and I'm so happy for her. Even her getting Dancing with the Stars, she knew how bad I wanted that, and I told her, I'm so genuinely happy for you. I will be there every fucking Monday you want me there. Okay, well, now I get it. So there's no way you're not fucking jealous, Sheena. If you wanted Dancing with the Stars so bad, and we see in the preview for next week, she tells Lisa, who is also very jealous of Ariana. Lisa is showing her colors. Sheena was like, yeah, when you got Dancing with the Stars, Lisa's like, yeah, you said you wanted it so bad. Sheena's like, I started taking dance classes this year, hoping I would get it. So when she told me, it's like, it's okay. Well, she didn't ask for it. They grabbed her. They like, sorry, Sheena, but the way Lisa puts her head in her hands, like, oh my God, this is a disaster that Ariana got Dancing with the Stars. Like, who are you people? Your jealousy is so embarrassing. It is so embarrassing. And Ariana gets Chicago. Oh my God, Sheena's losing her fucking mind. Sheena's losing her goddamn mind. And I'm actually happy about it. I want, now, you know what? Despite Sheena, I want Ariana to keep getting all this stuff, okay? But the thing is, imagine if Sheena got Chicago, or imagine if Sheena got Dancing with the Stars. Ariana has a likability that Sheena just doesn't have. Ariana's so likable and modest, humble. Sheena's just a different person. She's a pick-me girl. You would have felt, wouldn't you have just felt the pick-me energy completely if she was on Dancing with the Stars? And they wouldn't have swooped her up for Chicago, I'll tell you that right the fuck now. They would not have done it. But I bet that was just like a fucking knife twisted for Sheena. Lala goes, you can still have Ariana's back, but she also has to acknowledge what you've been through. What? She has. She does. She thinks, what? What was the conversation that you had with her on the phone? Okay. Lala's confessional is out of pocket. It's not okay. It's time for Ariana to pull her own head from her own ass. She needs to come back to reality and remember who her friends are and what they've done for her. Sheena has been ride or die since day one for Ariana, and now it's time for Ariana to return the favor. Mm-mm. That's so wrong on so many levels, because you clearly don't realize the history of Ariana and Sheena. Pia and I recapped season 3 on the Patreon, and we were like blown away by how obvious it was that Sheena didn't have Ariana's back with the whole Kristen thing. She kept being like, Kristen's never done anything to me, so I wish she could do something to me so I would have a reason to hate her. And Ariana's like, well, you would think that what she did to me and Tom, but okay. So Ariana's already put up with this with Sheena. But now what has Ariana not done? If you guys didn't see, I pulled clips from the reunion where it's all about Sheena's feelings. And Ariana is fully validating them. So what are you talking about? Now, so you did the reunion, lived some of your life. Then the cameras come back up and Ariana must be in a very uncomfortable position. But because the producers are forcing Tom on them, Sheena's like, what do I do? I'm so conflicted. It's like, well, just because you're filming with him doesn't mean you got to be his friend. I don't know. I can't figure out how to do anything because I have no moral compass of my own. God. Sheena, her last monologue is bad. Why can't I have one moment where it can be about me? He didn't cheat on you. Well, I'm hurt. I lost a very, very dear friend here. I am struggling with that. But I'm not allowed to feel anything because it's only about Ariana. And I'm tired. Ugly. The oof. It's just not cute. It's just really, really ugly, Sheena. I'm embarrassed. Okay, in the after show, I already talked about a lot of the after show, so let me look through my notes here. One of the producer prompts is, Sheena, you FaceTime Katie and Ariana after that emotional moment with Sandoval. How did you feel about that? And Sheena goes, apparently they're not my audience when it comes to anything I'm feeling if Tom Sandoval is involved. Yeah, I would imagine. I would imagine that his ex-girlfriend that he cheated on would not be who I would go to when I'm conflicted on whether or not I should forgive Tom. That seems like logic, common sense. Fucking common sense. Yeah, you know, why would Ariana want to be a part of that? Ariana goes, I think I've been very understanding. Yeah, she has. Katie goes, to be conflicted again over a guy that doesn't exist. What a great line. This person doesn't exist anymore. That's not Tom was faking it this whole time, guys. But then Katie calls Sheena a male sympathizer. Good point. Suddenly Tom Schwartz is one of her very, very good friends that she just had to be there for. And now the thing with Tom Sandoval. And Ariana, that's when she says, I also think that when he said, I don't give a fuck about her, we're never really friends, that hurt her feelings. And instead of making her like, so now I don't need to put stock in this person anymore. Instead, it's, I think now she needs that back somehow. She wants it back. James, thank God, he gets it completely. He's like, I see both sides. Like, why would Ariana's not going to want to hear that at all? Which isn't an insult. Like, how are you two not understanding this? Sheena and Lala, how do you guys not get it? Of course she doesn't want to talk about that. Of course she doesn't. And then James is like, even though it's her bestie and she loves her, she's not trying to hear about Tom. So the way this dialogue progresses is funny because Lala is so determined. Remember how she said she didn't want to be a dog in other people's fights? And she's certainly sticking up for Sheena quite a bit. Okay? Like, what the fuck? But Lala was like, it would have been different if Ariana said, I understand how you feel. I can't imagine what it was like to lose two of your best friends as well. But just so you know, I'm here for you from afar, but I can't talk with you about it. Like, at this point, you need a new audience. Why does she need to say that? Why would she need to spell it out like that? Isn't that common fucking sense? So no, she kind of does say that in her own way, but she's not going to, what do you want from her? Like, that's crazy. You were going to, Lala, were you going to stop and do that for Sheena? I doubt it. If Randall was the one we were talking about, I doubt it. Then Lala says that Ariana is acting like Sheena doesn't matter. Okay. And then goes, I already went over this part, but then like she even acknowledged you at the reunion, blah, blah, blah. And then, Ariana did. She acknowledged it. And Lala tries to get James to feed into this narrative. Lala tries to get James, because she goes, we all babied you about your feelings with Sandoval. And he's like, what are you talking about? No one babied me. And no one did. Like, he stormed off a bunch, but Sheena also got the same level. And James even goes, yeah, no, they cared more about that than about my shit with Tom. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then Lala's like, well, no, did I ever say that? Did we ever say that? Ariana has never once said your friendship with Tom didn't matter, Sheena. That's never come out of her mouth. She's actually very aware of how much it hurts her and cares. And then they go back and forth and back and forth. And James just keeps shooting down all these attempts. So then Lala ends it with, oh, you're a fucking nightmare today. He's like, sorry, but I didn't care if anyone acknowledged it. Like, what do you need, Sheena? We had a whole segment in the reunion. What are you talking about now that we're back to, what are you guys really upset about? Okay. Prompt about Sandoval. This is the producer prompt about Sandoval sending Sheena money. And Tom goes, yeah, I did it. And honestly, I didn't want any fanfare over. I just wanted to pretend like it didn't happen. But Katie's like, he does it too much. This is like toxic behavior. And it is. There's an element of it that's like, why do you want to do that much stuff? That's odd. Like the engagement and all that. So I'm like, what? And then obviously we have our theories on why he wanted to pay for that. But you know what I mean? Like, what? But Tom goes, yeah, I tell everyone on their birthday, they should give a homeless person $100. Then he gets up and demonstrates how to do it in a, quote, not self-serving way. Okay. He's like, hey, man, can you hold this for me? And then you just walk away. You feel so great about yourself. Okay. Even that, no. I also don't believe you. But I kind of do. I can feel like Tom would be out drunk, like leaving a club and be like, hey, man, like leave $100 for a homeless person so we could say it later. Tom's like, when something is a big deal for someone else and not a big deal for me, I do it because I can. Meaning like if someone needs a couple $1,000 and I have it and like I'm rich and I can't, like, okay, but yet you were broke, you said. So I don't even know what you're talking about. Producer prompt, Sandoval leaking the Raquel and Brock story. Sheena goes, Tom's publicist was a person who ironically no longer works for Tom Sandoval. I wonder why, because he saw that and he was like, what a fucking snake. But he was putting stories out to try and deflect from Tom. So I'm saying, I don't know where Sheena stands with Tom. I don't know if I finished that point. But like in real time, Sheena's not like friends with Tom. So like this whole, she just stays like stunted. This whole time, like, I think I want to be his friend, but then Tom does something probably totally rude and horrible, and she's like, fuck you again, never mind. So I don't even know what you're fighting for. Tom says, it wouldn't have even done anything, you know, like pouring a cup of water on a burning house. Not totally true. A nice distraction is good. If Brock were, it would have been found out that Brock was, in fact, having an affair with Raquel, that would have absolutely made the headlines and taken some heat off Tom. Then it would have made Rachel the bad guy, right? Sheena's like, I know through my publicist and people we know in the industry who was planting these stories. It was his team. And it definitely wasn't his manager because his manager used to be my manager. And I like Lala being like, you just have all the information. Because Sheena, that's what Sheena is good for. She's got her ear, her nose and ear and eyes, nose and ear and everything. Ariana says that he was maybe having like, this is Ariana's theory. She's very careful with it, though, because she's like, I don't want to fuck over a publicist or say anything about a publicist because then I'm going to get some bad headline. But she's like, I think maybe Tom was just having a shit-talking session with his publicist, you know, like people do, and then his publicist took it and ran with it. That I can totally see happening. That paints a very clear picture for me. I could totally see that happening. Schwartz is like, yeah, Brock actually said it really affected their marriage a lot. And Sheena's like, yeah, I became very paranoid. And he didn't want to tell me that my friend tried. So he, but did she say that? I don't know. I couldn't tell exactly where they landed on it. But Brock said point blank during the episode, nothing happened, nothing at all. There's a prompt about, I don't even remember this from the episode. Maybe I just tuned out completely. I think I did. But the scene where Schwartz and Brock, they get back to the house, Brock's all wasted, and he's like, why didn't you hit on anybody on the boat? And he tells the story of how he was in love with a pig farmer, a pig farmer's daughter. But again, I'm like, I don't even remember that. But anyway, what this does is it prompts the producers then to ask the Toms, what were your first loves, or who were your first loves, or do you remember your first loves? And Schwartz is like, yeah, some chick, whatever. But Sandoval is way too passionate about this. Like, it was like it was so fucking serious. He's like, I went away to space camp in eighth grade, and I said to my friend, oh my God, who is that? And he's like, that's Megan. So then he goes, and he gets her, and he brings her over to me and says, Tom, didn't you say you liked Megan? And, like, my life changed in that moment. Normally, I would have been like, no, dude, what are you talking about? Tom, this is from eighth grade. Normally, I wouldn't ever refer to any behavior I had in eighth grade that as normally. That's a weird thing to say. Normally, so from eighth grade on, you've been different. So whatever, whatever. Normally, I would have been like, no, dude, what are you talking about? But instead, I just stopped and I looked at her right in the eyes and I was like, yeah, yeah, I said that. Like, we were locked after that. The final day we made out, we would, like, visit each other. We were there for each other during, like, adolescence. Like, dealing with, like, those, like, struggles. Like, I hate the way he says like, you guys. And then he goes, you know, Raquel reminded me of her. And I think that has something to do with me getting immediately, like, wrapped up. It was a really powerful moment. Like, it changed my life. Sandoval's that guy that, like, makes things so serious. Like, if you're at a party and everyone's telling funny stories, Sandoval tells, like, the deep story. You're like, oh, okay, that's not what we were trying to talk about. Okay, sir. Schwartz goes, got anything to say to her now? He's like, oh, but wait, you guys are still buddies, aren't you? And then the way Tom looks at him, he's like, that was not, I wasn't trying to be a joke. I was, like, asking. And Sandoval goes, no, I've reached out to her a couple times on Facebook. I just want to check in and see how she's doing in life. And Megan, if you see this, like, hit me back. I just want to know how you're doing. That woman knows better. That woman got those messages from Tom Sandoval and was like, ew, fuck no. I'm not ever talking to him ever. And he's, like, annoyed that he doesn't have access to her life. Did you see how irritated he was? No, I've reached out to her a couple times on Facebook. I just want to check in and see. I just want to know how she's doing. Like, what the hell? She doesn't owe you shit. Stop being entitled, motherfucker. God, he's horrible. Oh, this is very hard to cover because it's just like I'm spending this. I'm like sweating. This man is so triggering. Okay, prompt about Lala and Sandoval in the boat fight. Tom, of course, tries to justify it. Again, Lala only gave us a sliver of her life for years while we were putting it all out there. It's a big difference. It's not like she was having this crazy affair with, like, Obama. And he finds that so funny that he even said that. She just, you know, she's just keeping more than half of her life completely hidden. That's not true because you guys knew most of her life. You got, at least the ones that she was closer to. You guys behind the scenes did, but then you wouldn't talk about it fully. But also this is old, but then so Tom does some bowling analogy, whatever. I don't know what he's talking about. And then he goes, yeah, like it was hypocritical of me to say that, but it's not the same. Okay. It's not the same. I may come at Schwartz and he looks over at Schwartz and Schwartz is again, disassociating and he's on his phone. And Tom's like, hey Schwartz, are you here? We're filming a show. And Schwartz is like, oh fuck. I just heard you talking about Lala and like her past and how it's justified that you said that to her. And like, I can't.
Now Tom is talking about how Lala brings up stuff just for cameras. And it's just stuff that she doesn't even really care about. Okay, just brings it up on camera. What does that have to do with anything, Tom? What does that have to do with literally anything you guys were fucking talking about? Okay, then they go into Lala's progress with Sandoval at the end of the boat ride. And that's when she like hypes up Sheena for tapping in and helping her out. And you guys disarmed him. She's like, I am the guy whisperer. And Schwartz goes, yeah, it probably wasn't good to be pulling out the history books and calling out prior behavior. And Sandoval was like, I wasn't. And in fact, that's what's been happening. It's been the exact opposite. Katie, Lala, all these people are now trying to open up the history books and be like, oh, remember this? You were the reason why my marriage failed. And Katie brought up something that I said like before you guys were even married. Like, Katie, you're always the one who complains about me bringing up the history books if I'm bringing up shit that's 6 months old. That's 6 years old. You know, sir, I know that fucking Katie never said you're the reason why my marriage ended. I know she never said that. I know she didn't. I know she said that you wanted her marriage to fail. That you said. That is accurate. I really can't. Okay. And I think that's it for those notes. Because then I think I already talked about the rest of this. I had so much content that I wanted to cover too. So like, I even have like separate notes. Let's see, what did I write here? Sheena is too fragile for this world. She craves this reality TV celebrity, but she hates feedback and is incapable of fixing internal issues. That's just a random note I wrote to myself. Let's dissect that just a little bit. It's true. Sheena wants this fame, this celebrity, but so much, it comes with such bad feedback a lot of the time. Look at Beyonce. Beyonce is loved. Taylor Swift, loved. These are people who are beloved. They have billions of fans. They get hate every single day. It doesn't matter. It's just part of it. It's just constant. And Sheena cannot handle it. She's in here checking her mentions. Looking through fucking, driving herself crazy. No. She craves it, but she's also just not, she's not the star. She was set up to be the star. Lisa tried her best, but she just can't pull it off. She's in the starring role and she still is like, but what about me? Oh, never mind, Sheena. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break and then let's get through this filing. I have been wardrobely challenged for the last, I would say 10 years, honestly, but I didn't like the way I looked in clothes. I hated shopping. So when it was time to purchase clothes to wear out in public and be a normal functioning human being, I was overwhelmed. It's a big costly endeavor, you see. But then Quince came along and sponsored the pod. Now I've been able to shop for luxury essentials and stay on budget, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. Yes, please. Organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. The best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They do that by partnering directly with top factories. So they cut out the cost of the middleman and they pass those savings on to us. And very important, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. Best pair of yoga pants I've ever purchased. And I've purchased every big brand of yoga pants in the search for the best one. And I have to say, Quince's the best. They hold my butt up perfectly. They're not see-through. Oh, I love those pants. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shespeaks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shespeaks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shespeaks.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Okay, let's read this fucking court filing, you guys. Okay, this might be boring because I'm literally just going to read it, but it just, there's the audacity. I'm skipping the parts that aren't interesting, obviously. Plaintiff Rachel Levis is a former cast member on Vanderpump Rules, a reality television show produced by Evolution Media and broadcast by Bravo Media, an asset of NBC Universal, together with Bravo. This case arises from a scandal of epic proportions starting in March 2023, stemming from an affair between Levis and another cast member, Tom Sandoval. Quote, Scandoval, as it came to be known, went instantly viral and was the subject of extraordinary press coverage, even in the mainstream media. Scandoval injected new life into a previously faltering series, causing its viewership to explode to unseen levels and making its cast members mega celebrities. What the fuck is a mega celebrity? Due to a narrative deliberately fomented by Bravo, Evolution, and the cast, Levis became an object of public scorn and ridicule. Okay. To be clear, Levis has repeatedly acknowledged that her actions were morally objectionable and hurtful to Maddox. She's offered numerous apologies. There is more to the story, however. Lost in the mix was that Levis was a victim of the predatory and dishonest behavior of an older man who recorded sexually explicit videos of her without her knowledge or consent, which were then distributed, disseminated, and discussed publicly by a scorned woman seeking vengeance, catalyzing the scandal. Levis ultimately checked herself into a mental health facility and remained there for 3 months while Bravo, Evolution, and the cast milked the interest her excoriation had piqued. That's a word. To make matters worse, Levis was misled by Bravo and Evolution into believing that she was contractually barred from speaking about her mistreatment. As a result, she suffered in silence as Bravo and Evolution watched viewership explode and the rest of the cast enjoyed unseen levels of public recognition and professional opportunity. Meanwhile, Levis, who was humiliated and villainized for public consumption, remains a shell of her former self, with her career prospects stunted and her reputation in tatters. Okay. I don't understand how any of that, any of the massive success, mega celebrity, blah, 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 what does that have to do with what this lawsuit is about? That doesn't, what does that literally have to do with it? It should be pretty cut and dry. This is an affair that was happening. Tom filmed her without her consent. And I'll continue. Let me continue. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. Okay. General allegations. A, the hostile and unsafe working environment on Vanderpump Rules. Okay. This is the filming reality TV shows. It doesn't follow the same structure, the same like HR, the same type of shit as a restaurant even. And restaurants are pretty haphazard, kind of crazy, kind of wild. So some of this stuff about hostile work environment and whatnot, some of it is just happening between cast members based on relationships. And that's what they're documenting when they film the show. So some of the stuff you're going to hear in here, it's like, okay, but they're not supposed to intervene. They're not supposed to interrupt story. They're supposed to like push story. They don't. I'm going to skip a couple. Number 15, Levis made her appearance on the show as the girlfriend of cast member James Kennedy, a DJ prone to violent outbursts and grappling with longstanding substance abuse issues and emotional, oh my God, my leg's cramping, dysregulation. Oh, hold on. Kennedy would regularly berate Levis, falsely accuse her of cheating, and act in a generally unhinged manner. Okay. Some of this was captured on camera, some was not. That doesn't count as a hostile working environment because this isn't like a fellow coworker. This is your boyfriend that you've agreed to film with. Levis eventually warned Kennedy that she would leave him if he did not stop drinking. However, she soon learned that his despicable behavior was not solely a function of alcohol abuse. At Thanksgiving with Levis's family in Arizona, why is this relevant? Tell me, why is this relevant? Didn't she put this on something else? Levis's family in Arizona, Kennedy erupted at Levis's mother and father and kicked her family dog 4 times in an uncontrollable rage. Now, see, that's a huge accusation. And I also don't know if I believe it. I really don't. I know that we believe women, but I'm sorry, I don't. Her version of things is so off. Levis ended their relationship and broke off their engagement. Kennedy's history of violent and dangerous behavior was well known by Bravo, Evolution, and the cast. Kennedy once physically assaulted then cast member Kristen Doty on camera. The footage, however, never aired, nor has Kennedy faced any repercussions for his actions, which would otherwise be fireable at a minimum, due in part to the intervention of his powerful ally, Lisa Vanderpump, who has served as his protector. Now, this was a Reddit theory that someone had sent me, this whole thing. And Kristen even came out and said, that's not true. They've not been like hiding, like I haven't been told to protect James or anything like that. I feel like I know what creator they're getting this information from, because some YouTubers will just go on and say something that they've heard and it feels like fact. And it's up to you, the person consuming it, to like dissect, like, oh, does this sound right? And I feel like I know a couple content creators who were touting this narrative. This honestly sounds like they just pulled from comments online. This just feels very manufactured. It doesn't feel this. None of it's even relevant, by the way, to the goddamn revenge porn. In 2021, after 3 seasons as a recurring character, Levis was cast as a lead. That doesn't even sound right. You're not, it's not like you're cat. That's what you would use to describe a scripted show. You know, that's, at the same time, however, Levis was in a vulnerable state due to the breakdown of her engagement with Kennedy, which was catalyzed by his chronic substance abuse. Yes, we already read that, blah, blah, blah. While she had previously moderated her alcohol intake because of Kennedy's heavy drinking, Levis began drinking much more heavily in the aftermath of their breakup. Levis was encouraged to do so by production and Sandoval, who believed it would make for better television and readily provided alcohol for her consumption. Guys, this show, they've been drinking heavily on this show from day one. No one was like, Rachel specifically, you need to drink on production. Not a soul did that. By season 10, Kennedy had resumed drinking again and picked up a new girlfriend weeks after his breakup with Levis. All of this caused untold harm to Levis's mental health, inducing her to drink more and leaving her vulnerable to what followed. This is crazy. It's like she's so not responsible for her own self. All of this so far. It's like none of this. It's like she made choices too. Those are things that are happening. She made choices. Levis began confiding in Tom Sandoval, a former bartender at Sir and a cast member since the show's first season. Sandoval had been in a relationship with another cast member, Ariana Maddox, since 2014. Imbibed and emotionally raw, Levis began to rely heavily on Sandoval for emotional support. Sandoval, in turn, began confiding in Levis about the dire state of his relationship, describing it as a business partnership and casting its end as foregone. On or about August 10th, 2020, Levis and Sandoval began sleeping together. The affair continued apace as Sandoval's relationship with Maddox further deteriorated. Although purportedly secret, this is the big one, guys, the affair was, in fact, well known to many cast members and suspected by others. Levis and Sandoval were not particularly discreet. Levis is informed and believes that Maddox knew about it as early as the fall of 2022. Indeed, in December of 2022, Maddox scolded Levis and Sandoval for being handsy in public, admonishing them to save the story for season 11. You're saying that after filming wrapped in December, Ariana went up to you and Sandoval and said, guys, save it for season 11. You think that happened? Okay. Because I'm sure the conspiracy theorists out there love this. That's where they're getting this from. Conspiracy theorists online who think it's all been one big setup. That's where they're just copying it. At the time, Vanderpump Rules was facing an uncertain future. Interest among the public had waned, and the plot had grown stale. Maddox, in particular, was reportedly on the chopping block. And then there's some number, like a reference, and it's reality blurb from February of 2024. And it says that Ariana was on the chopping block before Scandoval. No one said that. Oh my God, that's what this is. So they just grabbed this from a reality blurb. No offense to reality blurb, they're great. But this okay. I'm gonna continue. In the absence of a sticky new storyline, there's every reason. To believe Vanderpump Rules would have been canceled. Maddox was aware of these pressures as Sandoval, and both were heavily invested financially and reputationally in the show remaining on the air. By extension, if their relationship was already on the rocks and if Sandoval was intent on brazenly carrying out an illicit affair with another cast member, they had every incentive to leverage these salacious threads into the storyline Vanderpump Rules so desperately needed. That is precisely what happened in a series of otherwise unlikely events. This is nuts. Okay, so now B. Sandoval and Maddox record and distribute illicit photos of Levis. On or about March 1st, 2023, Sandoval was performing with his cover band. Then they tell the story, blah, blah, blah. Levis is informed and believes, and on such information and belief alleges, that the explicit videos were recorded by Sandoval without her knowledge or consent in or around February of 2023. The two videos Levis has seen depict her in a state of undress and masturbating. However, given Sandoval's apparent practice of secretly recording their video calls, Levis has every reason to assume there are additional illicit videos and/or photographs of her that she has not yet seen. Levis is informed and believes, and blah, 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 that Maddox obtained at least two illicit videos of Levis and distributed them and or showed them to others without Levis's knowledge or consent. Obviously not with your consent, but okay. At a minimum, Maddox circulated the illicit videos to herself and Levis.
She also immediately informed production about what she had found. In addition, many other individuals have demonstrated intimate familiarity with their contents, leading Levis to believe the circle of recipients is wider. But, so you only know that she sent it to Rachel, but you've heard because people, okay, so I don't know if you guys saw, but Ariana went on Sheena's podcast months ago now and said, I only watched a couple seconds of it. Like, I didn't need to see more of it. And she goes, and I hate saying this, but this, it's a pretty standard video. There's nothing like crazy to point out that someone, it's like, oh, you know, they heard it, they saw it because they know this specific detail. That's according to Ariana. I can't imagine being the other woman and finding out that he's got that on his phone. I don't care if there's a case here against Ariana. You don't fucking put her in this thing. I don't care. I'm sure people out there are going to say, well, she's got a case. That's the problem, is she might. But if you were cheated on and you found this video on your boyfriend's phone, wouldn't your instinct to be to send it to yourself at the, I don't know, like that, your mind is just going a mile a minute in that at that point, right? So even if she did send it to someone else, but Ariana, she maintains, she's like, I didn't send it to anybody. I told people about it. Sure. How could she not? Come on. On the night of March 1st, Levis was in New York with another cast member, Sheena Shea, yada, yada. They go to film. They're at a bar when Levis received a text from Maddox. You are dead to me. Alongside the message were the two videos of Levis that Maddox had purportedly discovered on Sandoval's phone. Levis experienced a swirl of emotions in response, including shock and fear. Shock because she did not know Sandoval had recorded pornographic videos of her. Fear because these videos were now in the hands of someone who hated her guts and was out for blood. She was terrified Maddox would leak them on the internet. Well, she didn't. So, reacting to the revelation in apparent shock and anger, Shea violently assaulted Levis, shoving her aggressively into a brick wall, punching her in the face, and throwing her phone into the street. The blow to Levis's face caused a rupture above her left eyebrow and severe swelling. We already know. Shaken, Levis flew home the next day and informed her family of what was happening. So D, Bravo and Evolution capitalize on Scandoval and cover up defendants' illegal acts. News of the affair and its aftermath, dubbed Scandoval, broke on March 3rd, 2023. This initial reporting was quickly followed by a torrent of follow-up stories. By March 4th, tabloids had already begun reporting on the pornographic videos of Levis, citing unnamed sources. Reporting on it's one thing, but they don't have it. Although filming for season 10 had already wrapped, Bravo and Evolution had a camera crew ready to shoot the next day. It wasn't the next day. Scandoval captured the public's attention in a massive way, went completely viral, and injected new life into Vanderpump Rules, okay? It also caused mayhem in Levis's life because she was the person having the affair. Culminated in months-long inpatient treatment at a mental health facility and her departure from the show. Fomented by Bravo and Evolution in conjunction with the cast, Levis was subjected to a public skewering with little precedent and became, without exaggeration, one of the most hated women in America. I'm going to say that, yeah, you can give that to Bravo. Bravo definitely didn't come to your defense, that's for sure. On March 4th, 2023, the day after news of the affair had broken, production directed Levis to film with Sandoval at her Los Angeles apartment. With cameras rolling, Levis confronted Sandoval for secretly recording pornographic videos of her and storing them unprotected on his phone. Sandoval had not only invaded her privacy and breached her trust, but also had left her enormously vulnerable to a nightmare scenario of the videos leaking on the internet. Sandoval responded to Levis's fury with cowardice and lies, claiming falsely that he had obtained permission to record her. Can you just see? You told me I could. Seeing that Levis was having none of it, however, Sandoval ultimately offered a reluctant admission and a sheepish apology. Sandoval was clearly rattled.
After filming ended, an erratic and unsettled Sandoval refused to leave Levis's apartment in spite of her requests. Levis was forced to have her sister and brother-in-law pick her up and drive her to their home. That day, Levis retained an attorney to mitigate the risk of the illicit videos leaking. Once at her sister's home, Levis turned off her phone for 2 days. Okay. However, media reports suggest Sandoval was in a panic over the on-camera confrontation with Levis. Specifically, he was concerned that being accused of recording non-consensual pornography would, quote, paint him in a negative light. Sandoval reportedly threatened to cease all further filming for the show unless he was granted editing rights over the scene. Shockingly, Bravo and Evolution obliged his demand. The scene was selectively edited to omit any mention, and this is true, of Sandoval's illicit recording of Levis's lack of consent. This was part of a pattern and practice of Bravo and Evolution throwing Levis under the bus in favor of Sandoval. Yeah, that's true. Recording someone engaged in sex acts without their consent is a crime. And we've been saying this. But now let's find where Ariana comes into play on this, because I don't care. We already agree. So I'm reading through this, like just scanning, and it's a lot of I'm trying to find the stuff that has to do with Ariana distributing it, because that's all I'm really concerned about, is you're claiming she distributed it, and I thought it would go into more detail on this, but it's all very heavy on how Bravo did this. Bravo had clearly decided this feeding frenzy was good for ratings. It is clear that Bravo deliberately sacrificed Levis for the sake of its commercial interests, stuff like that. Andy Cohen exploits Levis's fragile mental state, talking about the reunion. As expected, the reunion was a train wreck, and goes into why they think that she was... They have quotes from Ariana from the reunion in this, and it's making me very angry. Like, demented, diabolical, subhuman. It's like, did you guys just copy what Bethany told you to say? Because this is all the shit she said on her podcast when she interviewed Rachel. It's like, she was... She'd gone. I can't relitigate it, guys. You already know what I have to say about that. That's fucking crazy. I can't. This is already gonna be a long episode. I can't continue to explain how I feel about Ariana at the reunion. Like, she did. She had the worst year of her life while she was in Florida with her family because her grandma died. Rachel and Tom were fucking in her house. So I'm sorry. I'm failing to understand how this is. Okay. Anyway. In short, Levis has been battered and broken irrevocably in service of a salacious storyline. Unsurprisingly, Bravo and Evolution badly wanted her to return for season 11. However, it was abundantly clear that they completely failed to understand or appreciate the toll Scandoval had taken on her. They warned her, unironically, that she must return to avoid having her story told by others, and reaffirmed her prohibition against speaking to the press on her own terms. I didn't read it, but I'm sure they're talking about how when Rachel did that weird TMZ interview in front of the nail salon, that was very much set up by her, obviously. And she talked about everything they were going to talk about at the reunion the day before the fucking reunion filmed. I'm sure they were like, you can't do that again, Rachel. Please. But the depths of her mistreatment, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, everybody else got what they wanted. Vanderpump Rules remains on the air, continuing to milk the storyline. Levis catalyzed. Oh, so now she's the star. Sandoval emerged with significantly higher pay because it was the next season. You're going into season 11. That's a whole different ballgame, honey. Season 11. Yeah, you're going to make a lot more money. And a development deal with Bravo. That's a new one. I don't know if I believe that at all, but they love the men. They love the toxic men. Maddox has become a bona fide darling of pop culture, has a new boyfriend, and is starring on Broadway. For Levis, the future is less rosy. She brings this suit to vindicate her legal rights, if not restore her sullied reputation. This is going to help? This is going to help your fucking reputation? Suing Ariana? Then they go into the causes of action. Eavesdropping, penal code, blah, blah, blah. This is against Sandoval. And then it explains how he... broke the penal code. The second cause of action, this one is against Ariana, revenge porn. Okay, Levis is informed and believes in the blah, 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 that Maddox displayed the videos or disclosed their contents to individuals who may not have received them directly, including but not limited to Bravo, Evolution, members of the Vanderpump Rules cast, and other individuals whose identity are not currently known to Levis. What? Levis was not aware that such illicit videos had been captured by Sandoval and thus could not have consented to their distribution. Maddox distributed, disseminated, shared, and publicized the illicit videos intentionally and knew or reasonably should have known that she did not have Levis's consent to do so. Girl, I'm sorry. That's not a viol. That can't be. Talking about seeing a video? Nope. Mm-mm. Levis has suffered grave emotional, psychological, financial, blah, blah, blah. The illicit photos were recorded, okay, as a direct result of Maddox's actions. Levis has suffered and will continue to suffer general and special damages alleged herein in an amount to be proven at trial. I hope Ariana countersues. Fucking sue this bitch for emotional distress. Fuck you. Ooh. Invasion, third cause of action, invasion of privacy against Sandoval, Maddox, and Does 1 through 50, which I don't know who the Does are. I think lawyers probably know why. Fourth cause of action, intentional infliction of emotional distress. The rest of this is just kind of more of repeating more of the same stuff, but just another clause. Brian J. Friedman with a Y, Brian with a Y. Summer E. Benson, Jason H. Sunshine from Garagos and Garagos. Are these all the lawyers? Oh, so there's two. She has two. She has Friedman, Tattleman, and Cooley, LLP, and Garagos and Garagos, APC. And that's Mark J. Garagos and Kimberly M. Casper. So she got a whole team. Woo! Isn't that upsetting? It's just like, leave Ariana alone. Like, you gotta leave her alone, girl. That's fucked up. You're just mean. Okay, thanks for going through that with me, if you're still even here. For those of you who tapped out, like, I don't care anymore. But anyway, it's good to be back. Tomorrow, recording Beverly Hills in Miami with Pia. And I love ya. Mean it. I'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to She's Speaking with Emily Hanks. This show is produced, hosted, and edited by me, Emily, and brought to you in partnership with Cloud10 Media. If you are looking for bonus content, check out the Patreon. The link is in the description. To show some support, you can hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications so you never miss an episode. Another free way to support the pod, please rate and or review on whatever platform you listen. It's free, and it helps the algorithm. Or something. You could also head to buymeacoffee.com/shespeaks and buy me a coffee or two. Make sure you're following me on all social medias. I am She's Speaking with Emily Hanks across all platforms, Threads, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. That's it. Thank you guys. See you soon.